You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday. You know what? I should change that for today. It's Derby Friday, and I am Glenda Geek coming to you from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, May 3rd, episode 3424, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, I know that we have listeners that are not into racing. This is not a day for you. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Bye.
Author Steve Haskin, who you're very excited about.
Oh, my God. I saw his name on the show notes this morning. I'm like a Steve Haskin super fan. I pulled all the books off that he's written off of my my shelf. He wrote for the Blood Horse forever. He knows, he's forgotten more about horse racing than we'll ever think about imagining.
Well, he's going to come on and talk about a very famous racehorse from the 1960s, Kelso, and he's going to give us his thoughts on the Derby. Plus, we're going to make our Derby picks, and we're also going to choose some winners for the Really Bad Ads prizes, and we're going to do some ads. That's all coming up on today's show. We spent the entire day yesterday getting the closing done on the house, so that is done, and we should be at the new farm within 2 to 3 months. It takes that long to get the sewer and the water and electric and all that stuff hooked up. Worst part is they'll probably deliver the house within the next 2 weeks, and then we're not allowed to go in it, and they make you sign about a dozen forms and warn you over and over again that you're not allowed to go in your house until you get the certificate of occupancy after it's all done, because I guess technically it's their house until we get that. So we're not even going to have keys. We just have to look at it when we go out. So,
that is such torture. I know when they were building our house and we lived on the property, we went in the house like every night to see what they were doing. And the builder was like, can you please stop going in the house? Yeah. Like you. And I think what their thing is like, we'll step it's on a liability. Nail and then we sue them. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's apparently under their insurance until it's turned over to us too. So I get
why
they
do it. I told
them
absolutely. I won't ever go back in there again, except for when Lucas and I play hide and seek all the time.
Yeah, it's fun when you're building a house because you get to see every step. That's the cool part. Well, so anyway, we're very excited about that. Now that means tomorrow we meet with the realtor to sell this house. So we're now very poor two household owners until we sell this house. We have a vacation house now. But hopefully this one will get sold pretty quick. Things have been selling, so we're hoping. Well, let's do some daily winnies to get talking about the Derby. And a weird thing, none of our auditors apparently were born on Derby weekend. So, but we do have a new auditor, Anna Hill. Welcome. And we're glad that you became a new auditor. And also raising their pledge was Shelley Billings. So, Shelley, thank you so much for doing that. I also have another daily winnie to Starlink. Yes, I'm giving it to Starlink. Because without Starlink, we wouldn't be able to buy the new house. There is no internet out there. So without Starlink, we wouldn't be able to move and do this whole thing, which is why we didn't do it a couple of years ago when we moved into this house. So thank you, Starlink. And
what's the guy's name who did all that? What's his name?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about him.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're giving your daily winning to him. So.
No, I'm giving it to the company of Starlink. We're going to not mention his name.
We're going to give it to conglomerates today. I would like to give my daily winning to American Airlines. So there is a
Starlink and American Airlines.
Chad's fighter pilot bestie is retiring tomorrow. And they have what is called a Finney flight. And so they do have a final flight. It's like very ceremonial. Chad did it.
Then in the Air Force jet?
In the Air Force, in F-16. And then they land. And then chaos ensues and they tackle him. This happened to Chad. They duct tape him to the wing. You spray him with champagne,
no.
and shaving cream, and like the whole, I mean, it is utter abuse and torture that they do to these pilots who are like 40. It's crazy.
They're too old for that stuff.
So I booked the flight to go out and I was like, you know, so again, with these American Airlines things, I get to just book the flight and I fly standby. So I don't always know if I'm going to get a seat, but it looked pretty good. And then Chad's like, what time are you flying? And I was like, oh, the flight's at 2:55. He was like, you sure you want to do that? So I unbooked and then rebooked to schedule it around the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that's right.
So we are getting up super early to go to Phoenix so I can sit in a bar in Phoenix and watch the Derby.
So you're going to be watching it from a bar this time?
I'll be somewhere in Phoenix watching it.
I might be on.
Yes, yeah. I might be on the Air Force Base. I might be in a bar. I don't know. Might be in a bar on the Air Force Base. Who knows? I'm just going to watch the Ding Derby. But I was able to finagle the flight around all of the Derby coverage.
This is a poor planning on the friend's part for retiring on Derby Day.
I mean, seriously, yeah. It's like he likes to play golf with Chad and not watch racehorses with me. So,
yeah, time. Right.
Whatever. It's like getting married Derby weekend. I mean, on Rolex weekend. Like, nobody does that unless you're my dad. And he married his second wife, who was horrible, on Rolex weekend. And I wore black to the wedding and sunglasses inside.
Well, this will be fun, though. You guys get to see your old friends at the base, though.
It'll be great.
And he gets to, relive his old times. Because being an American Airlines pilot, they don't tape anybody to the wing.
No, yeah. And I will tell you, he's leaving today.
Well, I hope they don't anyway.
I'm like, you go have fun with your friends on Friday night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Get that out of your system.
I'm too old for this. So are you, by the way.
So I have an interesting story from the Derby. And by the way, you know how I always pick by name? Well, I'm going to do that again this year, but I actually looked up where the names came from because we were asking the other day the horse that Horse and Hound has, and we were asking where Domestic Product got their name, and I have that now. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, and some of the others have interesting stories about where the names came from. Well, the interesting story I found is about Larry Demerit. He's trainer for Longshot West Saratoga. Remember who West Saratoga is in the pool, who West Saratoga is running for?
That's the old friend's horse.
The old friend's horse. That's right. Well, Larry is the second black trainer since 1951 to be saddling a horse at the Kentucky Derby. The other was Hank Allen, who finished sixth with Northern Wolf in 1989. So it's been a while. And he's staying in barn 42 at Churchill Downs. That's the same location where Seattle Slough was before he won the 1977 Derby and went on to sweep the Triple Crown. It was the first Derby that Demerit attended. So that was the first one he went to. Now Aww. He's in that barn. He has a horse in the race. Black trainers, of course, dominated the Derby in the early years, winning 7 of the first 17 races from 1875 to 1891. And you know what? He's 74 years old. He's from the Bahamas, and he was diagnosed with cancer in 1996. He underwent chemotherapy. He's still with us today. His father was a horse trainer in the Bahamas as well, and he still has the accent. So when you hear interviews with him, you'll hear the accent. And his motto is, I don't buy cheap horses. I buy good horses cheap. So West Saratoga was purchased for $11,000. And is now in the Kentucky Derby.
Can I just also say that that's how I like to do it, and I'm going to live that as my new motto, and I need that on a shirt.
I don't buy
cheap horses. I buy horses cheap.
I buy good horses cheap. We need a t-shirt with that on it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, you know, the most expensive horse in the race this time is the favorite. And that, of course, is Sierra Leone, who was purchased for $2.3 million. So we have West Saratoga purchased for $11,000, and then we have Sierra Leone purchased for $2.3 million.
I thought Fierceness was the most expensive. Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just an interesting story. This is the one you're going to see on the pre-Derby coverage tomorrow. This is what you're going to see. You're going to see this one over and over again. I guarantee you this will be the highlight story. So that's That's a scoop. And we have a wager that we did in the post show with John Nicholson, who runs Old Friends. We have a little wager, don't we, that we're betting that our horse for Horse and Hounds Horse will come in before Old Friends Horse in the race. So
domestic product will edge out West Saratoga. That is what we're going for. And it was a pretty big bet. You bet him a hot brown at Ramsey's.
That's correct. And I'm kind of feeling mixed about that because I kind of like West Saratoga now too after I heard the story. So I don't know.
You get to pick a trifecta. You can put, I mean, the whole thing is like, so here's what we're talking about. If y'all don't know, Churchill Downs Foundation has paired thoroughbred rescues with each horse that's running. So like number one, Doorknock is with TRRAC, and then two is Kentucky Equine Adoption Center. Mystic Dan is with Rerun, and then on and on and on and down. And the giving $150,000 to these rescues, first place gets $25,000. Like, so if domestic product, who's post 15, comes in first, Horse and Hound gets $25,000. Or if West Saratoga comes in second, then Old Friends gets $20,000. And it goes 20, 25, 20, 15, 10. And then fifth through 20th place, I'll get $5,000, which is awesome for thoroughbred rescue. So it's fantastic. But again, I mean, I'm definitely pulling for, domestic product to cross the line, because that's a lot of vet bills that I could get covered.
All right. Well, let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products, and then we'll find out who our picks are. And we'll just go through some of the, how they got some of the names. And we'll do more serious coverage when we talk to our guests who actually know stuff about this.
Yeah, Steve actually knows stuff about resources.
Frequently Asked Questions, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Is it necessary to feed additional fat or oil to my horse when I supplement with a natural vitamin E powder like Elevate? No, it is not necessary to provide additional fat or oil to your horse when supplementing with the natural vitamin E contained in Elevate Maintenance Powder. A typical horse will consume enough fat from their diet to support the absorption of fat-soluble vitamins. An exception to the rule would be a horse that is severely malnourished or one that has a medical condition that interferes with fat absorption. Most horse people don't consider hay and pasture as sources of dietary fat, but they are. For example, mixed grass pasture contains between 2 and 4% fat, depending on the variety of grass. Hays contain between 1.5 to 3% fat. If your horse is eating 15 pounds of hay, that diet is providing from 1/4 to 1/2 a pound of fat per day. You can learn more about Elevate and natural vitamin E at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com.
So I don't know. Sometimes we go down through all of them. I don't know that we're going to do that today. You can watch the endless coverage on all the different horses. There were a couple interesting stories about how they got their names. I mean, we can do it however you want to do it. Sierra Leone, of course, who is the favorite at 3-1, was named after the country in Africa and its rich history. It was a trading post for Europe, and the name is also a nod to the nationalities of the horse's ownership group, which include Irish, English, German, and Americans. So that's where Sierra Leone got the name. Catching Freedom is a name that's a clever play on his parents' Constitution and Catch My Drift. Get it? Catching Freedom.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. You had to think about that one, didn't you? So that one's kind of cool. There's a couple that are by Justify. So they got their name. It's Just Steal. The sire is Justify. So that's how they got that name.
That's like Justify and American Pharoah both had great names to like continue the naming pattern of things. Like any horse that's American, like my American Pharoah baby was American Hustle, and now Justify is like Just Steal and Just a Touch. Like that's so cool.
Yeah, Just a Touch, also Justify. But the dam on Just a Touch was Touching Beauty. So you got Justify, you got Just a Touch. So that was clever. I think that was a clever one. Of course, West Saratoga. Now, West Saratoga, the owner, Littleton, or the owner, Harry Verrucci was raised in Littleton. I think it's in California. And there was a street name, basically West Saratoga Place. And that's he grew up on that street. So that's how West Saratoga got the name.
Let me tell you what I thought was one of the names and then what the real thing is. So there's a horse named Honor Marie. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy bought this horse for his mother and, you know, named his mother's name was Marie and he named it Honor Marie to honor his mother who's now passed. Like, and it was going to be like, I was like, I can just see the Derby coverage and photos of his mom and how wonderful that is. Yet none of that's true. The mare's, the sire is Honor Code and the mare is Dame Marie. So literally it's Honor Marie. And I was like, that's such a girly name for a horse like Marie, but Honor Marie. I was like, oh, he's honoring his mother. No, Honor Code and Dame Marie.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these are just plays off of the parents' names, obviously.
That's a racehorse thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Stronghold, who's 20-1, has a dramatic story, and the owner is Rick Waller. His dam, Spectator, died tragically giving birth to him, so he became a pet around Mulholland Springs Farm in Lexington. But he kept growing, and apparently the handlers would call the owner and say, hey, look, he's getting so big and strong, he's like a man among boys. And Waller said, so when I was trying to name him, I came across Stronghold and thought that's the perfect name for him. So that's how Stronghold got the name. Fierceness, who's 5-2, one of the favorites in the race, is a Mike Rapoli horse. And apparently he's calm and laid back about 99% of the time, except when he's racing. Apparently when he works or races, he turns into a strong and powerful alter ego, he said. And he said he likes one word names. They're always popular. So he named it Fierceness.
I was going to say, that's Mike Rapoli. He's the creator of Vitamin Water, and he is, all his horses have one name. And so, yeah. That's,
yeah. And you know what? This is like a really bad ad. Only when he works or races, he turns into a strong and powerful alter ego. That means he's a jerk.
Yeah, nice quote.
Yeah, that's right.
Mike was drinking his Vitamin Water with some booze in it. He gave that quote.
Domestic product. The horse that we're all cheering for, right? It comes from his dam, Goods and Services.
Oh, I thought it was like, again, what I think and what is real. I was like, oh, there's some shipping magnate who's like owns the horse or part owner of the horse. And like, is it? No, it's just Goods and Services,
that's
domestic
all it
product,
is.
Whatever.
Society Man was named after Georgia Governor Carl Sanders, who from 1963 to 1967 was governor, and he ushered in the more progressive attitude toward race and segregation, and he's credited with much of Atlanta's business prominence. I think there's even some streets and stuff named after him. President Lyndon Johnson jokingly called Sanders a society man in a recorded phone call the two men had in 1968, and that's how Society Man. It was an Atlanta thing. That's how he got his name.
Yeah, I don't know any streets named Carl Sanders Boulevard or anything like that, though. No, everything's peach something. So.
Yeah, that's true. And this is another one, Epic Ride. I like this one. I like this name. Named in honor of James Woody Welsh, one of the founders of Welsh Racing, who dreamed of having a Derby horse but died October 6th of 2022 from an illness at 78. During his final weeks, Welsh Racing co-founder George Ho said that Welsh referred to his life as an epic ride. So before
Aww.
He died, he said, I had an epic ride, and that's why they called the horse that. So I thought that was a cool story.
Okay,
too.
that's what I want to hear. Not like his sire was Epic Storm and his dam was Fun Ride, you know, like,
Most of them are that way. Cool. I mean, most of the rest of the ones that we haven't talked about are that way. But now it's time to talk about picks. So I always, do you want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
Go ahead.
All right. So I was picked by name, and then I kind of took the naming of the horse into account today. And, you know, I came up with three. I had to put Domestic Product in there just for Horse and Hound's benefit. I just had to do it.
Yeah.
And then Catching Freedom, it just is a cool name. And I kind of like how they came up with the name. So Catching Freedom is very catchy. And then Forever Young, because I'm getting older and I'd like to be forever young. So that's how I came up with that one.
Let me see what I've got.
Catching Freedom is, where Domestic Product's a 30-1. So, you know, Catching Freedom's at 8-1. So I have a pretty good one in there. And then Forever Young, let's see, Forever Young's a 10-1. So I'm kind of all over the place as far as the odds are concerned with my picks. But you know what? I've done this before, and you'll test this over the years. I've done pretty well, actually.
It makes me so mad. The Derby is like, it's funny. So here are my picks. I went with domestic product because obviously I'm pulling heart and soul for that horse, 30-1. And then, interestingly enough, Sierra Leone and domestic product are stable mates. And they've been working out a lot together. And I watched the workout from yesterday, and it was BS. Okay, so like they're making domestic product. They're like holding him back a little bit. So Sierra Leone was like in the front the whole time. And I was watching the exercise rider on domestic product, and it's like holding him back. So Sierra Leone won the breeze, you know, when they blow him out, it's called a breeze. And he was holding domestic product back. And so I picked Sierra Leone to go second behind domestic product because domestic product's going to be like, suck it. It's my turn to win, and goes forward. But they're so used to running side by side that that's what I think is going to happen. I personify that. I anthropomorphize everything.
They had to make the favorite look good, right? I mean, that's basically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they were like, it reminded me of Seabiscuit. Like don't hold him back to make him lose. Then the other thing is a third horse is a horse named Doorknock, which is really, really cool story. So Doorknock is by a mare named Puka. Okay. Last year's winner. Do you remember the horse Mage?
Yeah.
Who won?
Yeah.
Doorknock is a full sibling, same mother and father, same sire and dam as Doorknock and Mage, of the same one. Puka is their dam, and I think this will be the first time that a dam has ever had back-to-back winners. So girl power, that's what I'm saying.
I love how all of you people put so much effort into which horse is gonna do. And I do just as well as you. Probably if we looked at the statistics over the years, I've done just as well as you going, oh, I like that name.
Well, you know, I go to the track here and like people are poor. There's a guy, Jimmy, he like pours through and he's like doing pedigree and all this. And I always beat him. I'm like, I don't know. It was prettier. Like what? What do you always say?
It's a gray. I like grays.
It's so pretty. Yeah.
So you have domestic products, Sierra Leone and who?
Doorknock. Doorknock.
D-O-R-N-O-C-H. Okay. Now, how did Doorknock get the name? Do I have it on here?
Let's see. The name is a reference to the Royal Doorknock Golf Club in the Scottish Highlands. See, it's a golf connection.
Well, that's boring.
I know, right?
All right. Now, for auditors, there is a special post in the auditor room. I'm going to pin it to the top. Lindsay Rausch posted in there, and she wants you to pick your trifectas in order. We always do this every year. But she makes really cool stuff out of horse's hair. So she makes all kinds of things out of horse's hair, and she is going to donate. She's going to give the winner, whoever gets the trifecta correct, and if there's two, she'll just do a drawing. But whoever gets the trifecta correct will get one of her works of art with your horse's hair. So
she's the one who made the once when I had to put Pink, my baby mama, down. She contacted all the people that own the three foals of hers and made me a beautiful keychain out of the hair. So she's super talented. I also have reins by her. She's like just super talented.
Well, Duke, go ahead and post your on that post is below it in the comments. That's what she's going to look at, is where you need to do your trifecta. So do it on that post. And then tomorrow during the Kentucky Derby, I always open up a chat on the auditor Facebook page. So that's a place where you can all chat and talk and discuss. And I'll open that up.
I'm not good enough to watch TV and chat at the same time. Like, because I have like glasses on, glasses
well,
off, glasses
that,
on.
You're have been drinking for hours. So I mean, there's that.
That's true.
I mean, I was there. I've heard the stories about that particular fighter pilot club. So
yes, but I won't be because I am going to have my child with me. He is going to be with all his bros. So I am basically just like this is the equivalent of horse husband. It's Air Force wife. I get to play Air Force wife this weekend. And as we all know, I'm terrible
at
that.
The bar watching the race.
Probably, there's but not, you know what? I mean, there's only so much. There's only so much I could do, Glenn. God.
No one knows your horse's thoughts, emotions, and moods as well as you. Just as in touch as you are with their personality, Sentinel's expert nutritionists are in tune with their dietary needs. With feeds in the form of extruded nuggets to provide exceptional nutrition and formulas made for every life stage and activity level, Sentinel's wide choice of carefully crafted feeds makes it easy to find the perfect fit and to better your horse's health. Learn more at feedsentinel.com/horseradionetwork. That's feedsentinel.com/horseradionetwork.
We're going to welcome our first guest on. I am so excited because I am a super fan of a guy named Steve Haskin. Now, Steve has been, I know of Steve because he wrote in the Blood Horse forever, and I loved his articles. And Steve is also an author of a book, which I have like a ton of them sitting on my shelf right now. So I'm super excited, like kind of geeking out to talk to Steve Haskin. Hey, Steve.
Hi, you're getting me excited talking to me.
I feel like I should call you Mr. Haskin. Like,
oh no, like, don't do that. I hate that. You can call me sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. I will do that. Perfect. Well, you have written a book about Kelso. Now, it's funny. I actually had this book, but a kind of a different one, and this is an updated version. So, talk to us a little bit about the new version of this Kelso book.
Well, it's basically the same book. I mean, it's there's nothing changed. There's not much you could change with Kelso, but they just did a new publishing company that took over Eclipse Press decided to re-release several of the books, some of them with additions to them, and others just re-releasing them with soft cover. A lot of people like to read soft cover now. So, so they decided to re-release it as a soft cover, but it's the same book.
That's fantastic. I'm glad they're kind of bringing these to light again. So tell us a little bit about like what makes Kelso special.
Well, I would call him like the only equine dynasty in horse racing because, you know, his reign lasted so long and it's a feat that will never be duplicated to be horse of the year for five consecutive years and win a race like the prestigious Jockey Club Gold Cup, which is a 2-mile race, 5 years in a row. And what Kelso did is he really brought in a whole new era of thoroughbred racing. You know, he came along in the early 60s, which was really a great time in America. You know, I consider him like halcyon days. You know, it was after the tumult of the 50s, you know, with rock and roll and Elvis Presley. And then nobody at that point had ever heard of Vietnam. There was no protesting. It was just a very quiet time in America, 60, 61, 62, 63. You know, then the Beatles came along and then everything, you know, exploded after that. But that era was Kelso's era. And the fans just absolutely fell in love with him. And they came to expect to see him almost every week. Because back then, you know, horses ran every 2 weeks. Not like now where they run every, you know, five, six, seven weeks. And every Saturday, you'd go out to Aqueduct Racetrack, and they would have at least 50,000 people there. And a lot of them would come to see Kelso. So, he was just that popular a horse. Because I remember growing up, and I'd always see his name in the newspaper. It's just like every single Sunday, I would pick up a Sunday paper, and there was Kelso's name in it. You know, it was, and at the time, you have to realize that in America, the three most popular sports in America were baseball, boxing, and horse racing. And horse racing really didn't have much, didn't have a really iconic type of hero. The 50s were great, and there were a lot of great horses in the 50s, but nothing like this. And he came along, and he just captured everybody's heart. The first equine fan club was Kelso's fan club by a 13-year-old girl named Heather Noble, who would send out like little press reports and new newsletters all about Kelso. And he was just a hero, an equine hero. And we really didn't see anything like that until Secretariat came along. But Kelso did it for 5 years.
Now, what's interesting, he ran 63 times, winning 39 of them. And in the 60s, he won a ton of money. I mean, he won almost $2 million in the 60s. That would be a horse winning $10 million now.
More than that. You know, now you have a race in Saudi Arabia that's $20 million by itself. And you have a race in Dubai that's $10 million. So horses now earn much more. Back then, there were no races worth more than $100,000. And right now we have what they call grade one, grade two, grade three. Back then, there were no graded races. If you won a big race, you'd say you won $100,000, because there was nothing bigger than that. $100,000 was as high as it gets. So for him to earn that much money, winning $60,000 winner's share for every race, as opposed to now where they're getting a horse named Senor Buscador, you know, who's a rags to riches horse, went to Saudi Arabia, and the winner's share of that race that he won was $10 million winner's share.
Yeah, so, it's getting hard,
you know, racing has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, so it's getting hard. I remember when, you know, they had a horse, he won a million. I mean, that's like, it's completely taken the dollar figures out of, you know, I remember like Fusaichi Pegasus was like, hey, it won the most money. And now it's just like, you would laugh at that because of the different purses now.
Oh yeah. Well, Fusaichi Pegasus cost $4 million as a yearling. So he'd have to win an awful lot of races to get that, money back. But back, you
that's
know,
true. That-
yeah. You know, back then to be a millionaire, it was very, very few millionaires back then. I remember in 1968, this is after Kelso, when Dr. Fager and his arch rival Damascus became millionaires. That was a big deal. There was like six of them at that time.
So what's interesting also about Kelso, a lot of the career that happens with these racehorses, especially one like that captured the hearts of America like he did, you know, he was a gelding, right? Like his whole time he raced.
Yes, he was a gelding. That's one of the reasons why. If you look at our great heroes that we've had since, like John Henry, who was also a gelding. We look at horses now a lot differently because if you're a plain horse and you're good, somebody's going to make an offer that the owners can't refuse. And they retired at three. Most of our really great horses, like, you know, American Pharoah and Justify, they're retired as three-year-olds. We don't even get to see them at four. So, you know, but if we have a gelding, the public eats them up because they actually stick around and they actually race. And I did the John Henry book too. I did a book on John Henry, and he was the first horse ever to earn $3 million. The first horse to ever win $4 million, $5 million, and $6 million. So this was in the early 90s, but for Kelso to do what he did in the 60s was incredible. And you have to realize too that like from August 1960 to November of 63, you know, he made 39 starts and won 28 of them. And back then, they had handicap races. And he not only carried top weight in all those races, but carried like 130 pounds or more, giving away gobs of weight to other horses. And you don't see that anymore at all.
That leads me to the question of what's different, in your opinion?
As far as weights, you mean? You mean handicaps?
No, just why? I mean, we had these horses that would run and run and run every 2 weeks. Now you get these top horses run every 3 months. And then the longevity of the career, is it just because it's become too lucrative to put them out to a stud? Like, why do horses not run like they used to?
That's part of it. Part of it is the fact that a lot of people feel like horses are not as sound. They're not as strong boned as they used to be. You know, now horses get, you know, all kinds of medications like butazolidin, and they'll get Lasix. And they're more apt to react to the environment, and they might get sick more often, but then their bones aren't as strong. And the trainers have become so conservative that they just don't want to run them. And the owners now are different from the owners we had back then. Back then, you had all the great sportsmen. You had the the Widners and the Vanderbilts and the Whitneys and the Galbraiths and all these, the Phippses and all these great families, and they were sportsmen. They were in it strictly for the sport. You know, they were millionaires and they didn't care about the money, so they were in it mm-hmm. strictly as sportsmen. Now, a lot of the owners are all partnerships and syndicates, and you have to appease them, and you don't want them to get hurt. So they're afraid to run the horses. And then if you get a good horse, like I said, all the big breeding farms start making offers. And the offers are so outrageous that they can't turn them down. So as soon mm-hmm. as a horse, like if a horse wins the Kentucky, Derby tomorrow, I'll guarantee you, unless he's owned by Coolmore and one of the really big owners, the day after the Derby, some breeding farm is going to offer to, to go into partnership with the, with the intention of standing them at stud, but mm-hmm. the contingent would be that they would be retired at the end of three and go to stud. So now right. we're not breeding horses to race as we are breeding them to breed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting too, because Kelso, I feel like Kelso was kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he was, so I train horses when they're done racing. I take them off the track and retrain them for second careers. And I feel like right. Kelso was kind of one of those pioneers of that, because he went on to be a show jumper.
He was, after he retired, Mrs. DuPont, who owned him, would ride him through the woods, and he'd go out every day with all his buddies. He had all kinds of animal friends. He had his ponies that were friends, horses, cats, dogs, and he would go out. And somebody had suggested, why don't you try making a show jumper out of him? And they did, and he took to it right away. And he won a lot of ribbons. He appeared at Madison Square Garden. And you can imagine, going to Madison Square Garden and seeing Kelso going over the jumps there. And he loved it. He actually, he did it for many years until he got too old.
That's amazing. It'd be like walking out and seeing Zenyatta is your competition. that's just incredible.
Right. Now, one of the reasons why Zenyatta was so popular, she ran often. She ran for several years and she kept running. And obviously, she was a big, gorgeous horse with a lot of character. So, we lack that these days.
Well, it's true. Well, I think before we let you go, we'd be remiss, because you have written an article for the Daily Racing Form, and it is called, your weekly article is called Derby Dozen. So you're like the Derby expert, and obviously the Derby's tomorrow. So break it down for me, sir.
Yeah, we basically want to know who to bet on. That's what we really want to know.
So. Well, I'm not going to be able to help you with that, because I think, now again, I don't know, the weather right now is very iffy, and if the track comes up sloppy, all bets are off. You're on your own, because you never know what horses are going to like it and what horses aren't going to like it. And you're dealing with a 20 horse field where anything can go wrong. But all things considered, just looking at the race, the favorite in the race, Fierceness, is just, to me, so much faster than anybody else in the race. We've got some good horses in there, but he really could be special. Now, I don't know if you ever heard, there's a speed rating called the buyer speed figures that they publish in the racing form that everybody swears by. Yep.
Most of the horses that I train, Steve, they come off the track with really impressive buyer numbers, like 12 or 4. Now, that's not what's going to race tomorrow.
Yes. Well, let's put it this way. So just to give you an idea about Fierceness, go back to the last two Triple Crown winners. Okay, you had American Pharoah and Justify. In their six combined Triple Crown races, the Derby, Preakness, and the Belmont, neither of them ran faster buyer numbers than Fierceness did as a two-year-old. And his last race was in the Florida Derby, was 5 points faster than anything that those two horses did in the Triple Crown. So he's just so much faster. Now, a lot of people wonder, well, does he have the fighting spirit? Because, he got beat in the Holy Bull in a race that he should never have lost. And he got beat last year in the Slop. So, again, who knows why? He was just a second start, so I certainly forgive him for that. And he got a lot of trouble at the gate. But if he runs his race, and you can tell, he's the type of horse, you can tell 20 feet out of the gate if he's going to win the race, because he's had so much trouble at the gate in his losses that if he breaks cleanly and gets a good position, I just don't know if anybody's fast enough to beat him. He's just that good. And the horse right behind him, Sierra Leone, who would be the second choice, he's a beast. I mean, he doesn't just pass horses. He inhales them. You know, he steamrolls. I mean, he's just such a big horse with a big stride. Just a absolutely breathtaking horse to watch. And to me, they are the two standouts. Now, of course, there's horses that you could bet behind them that look good. And if any of them falter, you've got horses like Just a Touch. You got a Japanese horse who's undefeated, who won the two richest races in the world. They won that Saudi Derby I was telling you about. And he also won the UAE Derby in Dubai. So he looks like he could be any kind. But
is that Forever Young? Is that the Forever Young horse?
Forever Young, right. But, you know, he's a Japanese horse. We haven't seen him. He's had to travel like 14,000 miles to get here. He had to travel from Japan to Saudi Arabia to Dubai. He's been trying to fly from Dubai to Brussels and then to Chicago and then take a van ride to Churchill Downs. You know, so we just don't know how it's going to affect him. Yeah. But, you know, the Japanese, you know, they have such a great way of training. They're so far ahead of us in technology, and they're starting to really be major powers all over the world. The trainer who trains Forever Young won two Breeders' Cup races on the same day, which had never been done before. So we don't know what to expect. He could win this race. It's not going to come as a surprise at all because he's the unknown factor in there. But he has to be. You have to consider him in your bets for sure. And there's a couple long shots I like named, you know, Mystic Dan, who a lot of people don't like because they think he just needs to slop, which he may get. But I like him at a big price. And another horse called Anna Marie, who looks like he's about ready to peak. But after the top two, and maybe the top three, if you include Just a Touch and maybe Forever Young, it's totally wide open. Anybody can win after that.
All right. Well, so if Fierceness breaks well, we might just see his tail, is because I looked at his speed right. figures and he's got 110. So he's fast.
Yes. And, you know, the Thoroughgraph numbers, which the big time horse players do, the big bettors go by, his numbers are outrageous. They're so much faster than anybody else.
Right. Well, you know, they are partnering up with rescues, Steve. They partnered up with a lot of off the track thoroughbred rescues, different horses. And the rescue that I trained for got partnered up with domestic product. What are my chances here?
You know, he's one of my long shots. And I'll tell you why. There's the one thing I don't like about him is that he's coming into the race off an 8-week layoff. And the last horse to win the Derby coming off a layoff as much as 8 weeks was Morvich in 1922. So it's not usually done. And normally I would totally discard that horse. The only thing that really brings me towards him as a potential exacted trifecta horse, and who knows, if everything goes his way, he could even win it. And he'll be a big price. But his maiden victory was at a mile and an eighth. And to me, it was the one maiden race that I remember more than any others. He did things in that maiden race that only, to me, a special horse can do. And I, even though I have that 8 weeks in the back of my mind, I keep coming back to that maiden race. And I say any horse that could do what he did in that maiden race has got a special qualities to him. And his last two races, his speed figures are not good, but they're phony figures because the pace in both of those races were so slow, so ridiculously slow, that he could never have gotten good speed figures in it. So, well, and you remember, in one of those races, he finished ahead of Fierceness in one of those races.
There's hope.
No, I would, if you like him, I would definitely would not discourage you from betting him at all.
I pretty much heard that domestic product is going to win, according to Steve Haskins. So, Sir Steve, thank you very much.
I've been misquoted before.
Well, where can people get your books? Because, again, I've just been such a fan of your writing forever. You guys, he writes like he talks. I mean, this guy is an encyclopedia for all horse racing. You. So where can people find your books?
Well, you can get it on Amazon. If you go on Amazon, you'll see the picture of the hardcover. But underneath it, they have not that they don't have the picture yet of the soft cover. Like, gee, I wonder why. until they get the new picture. But you can either get the hard covered or the soft covered at Amazon. That would be the easiest and the quickest way to get it.
Well, Steve, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on. I hope you enjoyed yourself, because we might have to call you back to talk horses sometime.
It was great talking to you.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that US Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with US Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when we talk or when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. And we have prizes that we give away to people who submit ads, where all the names get put on a spreadsheet and then we pick some winners. And we have three prizes to give away today. And anybody that submitted up to this point are added to the list. And Jennifer has compiled the spreadsheet. There's 212 names on it of people that submitted this month. Thank you, by the way, for everybody that does play along and submit. We appreciate it. And you know what? We saw a lot of new names this month, which excites me too. Because we did see.
Well, I'm sorry. To be fair, like, all of you are horse shopping all the time. When you see a garbage ad, it's not hard to email it to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
That's true. Well, we have three things we're giving away. The first is an annual subscription to US Rider. And of course, that's a 24/7 nationwide service that covers your car and you. And you get stuck alongside the road, you call them and they try and get you help. That's what that is. And that's going to be an annual subscription worth about $200. And we're going to have Siri pick the winners this time, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna try. We'll see how this works. All right, so you want a number between 1 and 212. Okay.
Correct.
All right, hey Siri, mm-hmm. Pick a random number between 1 and 212 and say it out loud.
A random number between 1 and 212 is 170.
All right, let's look at the
thank you, Siri. I always say thank you. Always, because like when they take over, they're going to be like, oh, at least she was polite. Always. I'll die last.
170 is Melinda Foxworth. Melinda, congratulations. You get the annual subscription to US Rider. All right, we're going to do it all again. And I hope she doesn't pick the same number. We'll find out.
This time I'm going to say please, because I felt rude.
All right.
Hey, Siri.
Well, let me tell you what they're winning first.
Please pick a random number between 1 and 212 and say it out loud. She typed it. She just typed it. But okay. I'll tell you the numbers she typed in after you tell them what the prize is. Sorry, right, I had already started. It was too late.
The prize is Equestrian Plus. It's a one-year membership to Equestrian Plus. That's a one-stop shop for world-class training videos from Stephen Peters to Ann Krasinski to William Fox Pitt. There's over 5,000 training videos that you have access to, and you're going to get an annual membership worth $150 to that. And what was the number?
These are great prizes, by the way. The number that Siri typed up was 146. Even though I told her to say it out loud, it's like rude, whatever. 146.
She doesn't like you, apparently. 146 is Amy Funk. So congratulations, Amy. You're going to be educated when you're done this year. You got 5,000 videos to watch. Now, I want to clarify that you have to listen to us first, and then in your free time, you watch the videos. Okay? Just clarifying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a replacement for us. And then the coveted prize that everybody wants. And it's a big box this time. I'm sitting here in my office, actually, because I had to clean out my office because we're going to be moving. So I have a big box of crap. We're going to give away a Glenn's box of crap. That can include anything from crap people sent me, to swag, to whatever I find I don't want anymore in my office goes to you. Some stuff that I'm sure you'll throw away, but that's fine because then I don't have to.
So. You're really selling it. I mean, we've got some dust cloths, some old crust from a sandwich from yesterday.
I cannot believe how many trips we have made to Goodwill. We moved here 2 years ago, and we must have made 4 trips to Goodwill already. It's amazing.
You're gonna get a toilet
how
paper
much
roll.
Crap you accumulate in 2 years living in a house. All right, box of crap, and we need a number.
Hey, Siri, please pick a random number between 1 and 212 and say it out loud.
A random number between 1 and 212 is 154.
Thank you, Siri.
Wow, she was all in the same area, not like you guys mess with me and go up and down. Margaret Dwyer is the winner of my box of crap. Ooh. Now, Margaret, you need to do a little picture or post of you getting the box of crap, and your facial expression will show us how happy you were with it. So.
I want an unboxing video on how excited you are when you pick out a dozen paper clips out of a box that includes, like, you know, a toilet paper roll, and then you got some old wrapping paper.
I have that drawer to clean out yet. I got to do that before I send this box out.
A book on how to learn Spanish, you know, like whatever.
Oh, there's some books in there too, by the way. Well, thank you everybody for submitting, and congratulations to the winners. You'll hear from US Rider and Equestrian Plus and me over the next couple of weeks, and we'll get your addresses and everything. So don't call us. We'll call you. All right, let's do this week's ads. So there were a whole bunch of people that submitted that we're not going to get to: Cynthia, Amy, Angie, Katie, and Monica. We just don't have time. And apparently Monica did some voicemails, but both of them got cut off. I don't know if they were too long or what happened. So Monica, we're sorry, but we couldn't use them because they both got cut off. I don't know what happened.
Come on, Monica, get it together. Try again.
But Scott sent one in, and let's play his, because he recorded his own, and we love when Scott sends them.
Hey, this is Scott from Virginia, and this absolutely amazing ad comes from Facebook, the Ross County Humane Society, where they've got some dogs available for adoption. It reads, "Do you know what's better than one husky? Us neither, but we know for sure it's not 5 of them, but that's what we have right now. Thankfully, 2 of them have adopters lined up, but these 3 friends are looking for homes. Do they like cats? Probably not, but they all came in as strays, likely because they ran away and their owners are probably like, finally, someone else besides me found them. Do they like kids? They don't dislike them, but they might bowl them over like they're barreling down the lane at Shawnee Lanes. Do they like other dogs? We're going to go with they seem to, since we've had them. We're also going to go out on a limb and guess that the only kinds of chicken they're safe around are the ones already in the form of nuggets. And we know some of you are going to be like, you guys are so judgy about huskies. We know. We've owned them, and they grew out of their shenanigans right about the time they're seniors and ready to leave this earth. Some of you love them, and we know that you are going to see this, read it, nod your head in agreement, and come out to meet one anyway. We love you for that. We used to require a fence for them, but to be honest, if they want out, they're going to get out.
That's true.
We suggest you have one, a tall one, along with a solid contract with a fence mender or dirt provider or concrete man, because they probably will dig, chew, or barrel out. Maybe not, but we want to give you the worst case scenario so you can be pleasantly surprised when they are better than we are making them seem. If you don't mind a dog who's mouthier than a 12-year-old teenage girl, sheds twice a year their entire coat, and are probably smarter than your ex, come meet them. We're here from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you have questions or would like to lodge a formal complaint about the husky slander, give us a call. Gamba's clearly a mix, but he's getting lumped in. We said what we said. And then include photos of the 3 cuties. And tell you what, I don't think I need to check with my wife. These will definitely fit in with her pack, and I think I should go out there and adopt them.
I love that ad. That was brilliant.
That was brilliant. I had a husky growing up who literally just jumped a fence and run away all the time.
So everything they said was true. You're related to all of it?
All of it. All of it. And they're so wonderful, but, like, you know, they need to leg mush. Like,
they need
a job in the cold.
We should sometime try and correlate dog breeds to horse breeds. Like, if a husky was a horse breed, which horse breed would he be? We need to do that.
I'm sure you can find that on Horse Nation or something.
Yeah, sure.
I already did the whole what dogs are the most popular for horse people in what state. That was a very scientific thing that I did.
Didn't go over well either. Mm-hmm.
I'm done trying to do things like that because it just made people mad. That's not the kind of dog we have here. I've never seen one of these dogs.
We've never heard of most of them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Joe Lynn sent the next one in, and oh, beautiful picture on this ad. This is a Facebook ad. I don't know what page. This is a smart, sweet boy. He loads baths, picks up his feet for fairer, and accepts the saddle as well as weight on his back. I have even ridden him with no buck when someone's leading him. But he has bucked me off 2 times, and this time I got a broken clavicle.
A what?
She broke her clavicle. She's on pain meds. Somebody is high. So, I need someone to take over his training. Please respond with price. I am Oregon Banks area. And the picture is of like this horse being led around, like, and all you can see in the picture is like his legs and feet.
That's it.
Like, he cut his whole head off.
They didn't want to show the cast on the rider. That's what it was.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a pony. I don't know much about this horse. You don't know if it's a pony or what it is because you can't really tell.
Alicia, he's a sweet, smart boy. Okay. Yeah,
sweet, smart boy sweet, who likes to buck you boy. Off.
Yeah, Alicia who will hurt
sent
you?
This one. Horse for, very short, horse for sale, $600 San Antonio. Good with children. Likes all vegetables except broccoli.
What?
It's a vegetarian. Why is that important to put in the ad?
I know nothing else
about the horse. Other than he's good with children. He likes vegetables.
But he doesn't like broccoli.
Not broccoli.
Know that. So, no. Yeah, there you go.
I don't like broccoli either, so I'm with it.
This next one was sent in by 3 people, Kai, Jesse, and Savannah. And it's a picture of a stinking cute pony in a trailer. And here's the ad. The name is Lefty, because he ain't right. 13 hands of hell waiting to release his wrath. Spent the first 6 years of his life outsmarting owners. So if you think your college degree is better than Lefty's, show up with cash in a trailer. He is phenomenal if you like to sit and look at him from a distance, but God forbid you stick your hand in the cage. Supposed to lunge either at you or in the round pen. I couldn't tell you, but that's the rumor. Keywords to search: waspy, watchy, disrespectful. Those are their hashtags.
Got me some brilliant ads today. There's a theme, though. There's a theme already developing. Kelly sent this one in. It's a picture of a body protector. You know, the one you wear when you're riding. And it must be from England because it's at a pound $100. Description. Champion TI-22 Youth Slim Medium Body Protector. Good condition. Current 2018 standard. Snake-free home. What does that mean?
I think they were trying to type smoke-free home.
I was like, why is that important for body protector?
That's a real big thing in Europe. Everybody has snakes, but some people are allergic. So you want to make sure nobody has held a snake with that body protector. That is the best typo ever. Y'all pre-read for real.
I got to see. Then it says Collection Biggleswade. I wonder if that's the name of the town.
I don't know.
Biggleswade. Let me look that up.
And maybe it's a collection that the like brand name of the TI-22.
Oh, maybe because there's no collection Biggleswade.
I don't care really. I don't care. All right, Allie sent in the next one. I love putting a lot of these. This one. Allie sent this one in. This looks like a Facebook post. Okay. Don't know what page. Y'all kept blocking out the pages. Like, I'm not going to join or something. I am selling my gray mare 15,32016 model. No period. Unfortunately, she is too unmanageable for me. Space, you have to find the right way, she will be very strong partner. She jumped 4.2 with me, comma. She would be good in barrel racing, but I don't want to do that. Space, comma. She is only for experienced hands with trainer, not for children or beginners. Price, mid 4-carat emoji.
Does that mean $40? Mid $40 range?
That means $5,000. What?
We do have a theme today. None of these horses are you don't want to buy any of them so far. Or you're going to be in trouble.
Unless Can I also point out that 4'2 is not a unit of measurement in jumping?
No, 4'2.
I jump 4'2. No, yeah, that's not a thing.
No, but I love how that she went from, yes, this horse jumped 4'2 with me, but she'd be a good barrel racer.
Yeah.
How do those two correlate?
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay. Pretty much I'm safe from buying a really bad-ass horse so far.
Yeah, you're good so far. Faye sent this one in. It's a pretty paint horse that looks about the same size as Scooter right now. Mare paint horse, approximately 6 years old. No papers on her. I got a saddle on her, but guess what she did, Jamie?
Oh, my God, it's a theme.
She bucked me off. I'm too old to finish breaking her. She needs work, but she's so sweet. They're always sweet. All the ones that buck you off are so sweet.
She's so sweet. She didn't, like, stomp my face when she bucked me off into the dirt. She just ran off.
Oh, I didn't notice this. Located in Brunswick, Georgia. We do have a theme today. Bucking seems to be today's theme.
Just bad horses, like, you know, all the way back to bad owners, but that's a personal thing. Anyway, Lisa sent the next one in. Oh, it goes right with it. Lisa, looking to rehome horse. She is marish and a nightmare. She will not wear a bit. You will need to sedate her to see a vet. Super head shy. Has been ridden in fun events. Pain in the ass to trailer. Painfully herd bound. Oh, 15 hands, around 15 years old. She is a project horse, as in project for the rest of her life horse. If you are looking for a quick turnaround, keep scrolling. Pretty confident that this is how she got to the state she is now. If your hard horse is one that needs to be, quote, appreciated for who she is, this is your gal.
God, of course they're giving this thing away.
Honest. Honesty.
We've had a theme. This could be a herd of just feral horses on today's ads. Deborah sent this one. Let's see if we get any better. From Ocala. Oh, it's from the Ocala Horse Sales Facebook page. You want a project? Ladies and gent, I got a project for you. Oh, my God.
No, but it's right in the theme.
This mare is 8 years old, 15.2-ish. You can use a tape. It tells you exactly. You don't need to do the ish. She's as nervous as a long... Oh, my God. She's as nervous as a long-tailed...
No, Glenn, you have to say this in a Southern accent, okay?
Oh, I can't today.
You
my can't. Nose is way
this
too stuffy.
This is so Southern.
All right, you do it then, because my nose is way too stuffy to do a Southern accent. I can barely talk.
Just this sentence. She's as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And every new thing in her life is a rocking chair.
They do have some brilliant writing in today's ads, though. She wants to please you like you're Mr. Clean. I just had to think about it.
I don't get it.
I don't either. If you train her right, she gets it right away. If you train her wrong, she's going to let you know in a hurry. Because you're going to be in the hospital. Dixie is a real project. We got a lot of projects today for a real cowboy or cowgirl. So if you bought your boots at Walmart, please keep scrolling.
She's nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. If you bought them boots at Walmart, you just keep on moving, honey, okay? This one's not for you.
You know what? They've been some funny ads today.
This is great. I love the over-honesty as opposed to the under-honesty.
Yeah, we don't have to translate these ads today. They say exactly what they are.
Let's see. I don't pre-read these, so let's see what this one is. All right, Chris sent this one in. Two horses. Oh, this is a Craigslist ad.
Oh, and it's in your old stomping ground.
Oh, fantastic. Two horses, buy one, get one free. $2,000 in Mayer, Arizona. One 11-year-old mare, Arab quarter horse Shiloh. She originally came from a training school for young riders. She loves listening to music, especially while being saddled.
What?
Our girl.
Does she like vegetables?
This is like a personal ad.
Does she like
this
vegetables?
This is a personal ad. She likes doesn't like broccoli, though. Our girl is 15 hands high and a great find for anyone who would like a spunky, fun to ride little mare.
Oh my God.
Then we shall buck you
again,
up.
Again, last sentence.
We also have one gelding thoroughbred appendix quarter horse Chance. He is 16 hands high. A great boy with an entertaining character. We are not too sure of his age, but he's about 23. What?
Which means he could be 33.
We're not sure
we
don't know. 23. I mean, but like, did they give a very specific age right after they say that? Both horses are very gentle. Neither has ever bitten, kiked, or bucked. If you take both horses, I will throw in most everything that we have for them. Just take all my stuff and get out.
I'm done with these horses. Well, I don't think you're going to be spending any money as a result of today's ads.
No. I'm going to have to go to Craigslist and start looking around because this is very unsatisfying for me.
You could get a snake-free body protector. That would fit you. It's a medium. A slim medium.
You know what? I was looking at the sport horse auctions this month. Auctions, they just let them go. Oh my God, they're all ponies and they're so cute. And I showed one to Chad and I was like, I love this pony and it doesn't have a reserve. And so I think I need it. And he was like, oh my God, that horse is so pretty. You should totally get it. What? Stop helping. That's my husband.
Well, this show went a little long, so we're probably not going to be doing a post show today, but we do thank you for listening. I hope you all, that those of you that enjoy racing, it's your big day tomorrow, and I know you'll have fun. I know where Jennifer will be all afternoon. She likes watching the pre-show stuff as much as the race itself. So,
can I just say again of what a super fan I am of that guest, and I did not know he was coming on, and I was so excited.
Yeah,
oh my God.
She was very excited. She was very excited about the guest today. And I was like, you know, when I saw it, I was like, yeah, I've heard of him. And I know he's like a famous writer dude. But that's what I knew. Jamie's I got his books right here.
I know his books on my shelf. I've subscribed to the Blood Horse for his article because it's always in the last page. Oh, so good. So good. I love him so much. And hopefully he's going to come back on. I just want to go have like a beer with him and talk about horses.
We did talk to him for a little while after, and he's as nice off the air as he is on the air. Super nice guy. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a terrific weekend. We'll see you all next week.
All right, everybody, spay, neuter, geld.